At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. At their retreat this weekend, Texas Republican caucus chairs will discuss ways to oust State House Speaker Joe Strauss. Social conservative issues like the transgender bathroom bill didn't make it to the House floor for a vote this legislative session. As a result, 50 county Republican organizations approved measures of no confidence in the speaker's performance. Strauss is seeking another term as speaker in the 2019 session. Now to our Friday conversation. The nation came to know Dr. Brian Williams in the days after July 7th of last year. The trauma surgeon was working at Parkland Hospital that night when wounded Dallas police officers were brought into his operating room. Three died. Williams spoke at a press conference a few days later.
And I think about it every day, that I was unable to save those cops when they came here that night. It weighs on my mind constantly, this killing. It has to stop.
More than a year after what he calls a turning point in his life, Dr. Williams has left the surgeon's job without another one lined up. He talked about the decision with KERA's Rick Holter.
The big question, I guess, is why quit?
For me, I always felt that there was a lot more facets to my identity as a medical professional beyond my role as a trauma surgeon. Mm-hmm. What I wanted to do was, you know, fashion a career where I could focus on the reasons I got into medicine in the first place. I was interested in having a career that was focused on social justice, which to me meant I could treat patients that had limited or no access to healthcare.
Now, you treated gunshot victims before. You treated cops before. What was it about that night last summer that made it such a turning point for you?
When you have the peaceful protests in downtown Dallas protesting police brutality, you have a black sniper who is targeting white police officers, and then, you know, seven come to our hospital, three are fatally wounded, and then there's me personally. I was the only black trauma surgeon in that group of 12, mm-hmm. and I'm working this night when this happens. This was preceded by the death of Philando Castile in Minnesota and Alton right. Sterling. So I was already thinking about these larger societal issues of race and violence, and then they all intersected that night. And after that, it was impossible for me to ignore how deeply impacted I was by all of this that was happening.
Now, the press conference, which I think was 4 days after the shooting, went viral. You were on just about every network in the days afterward. What's it like playing out a personal struggle on such a public stage?
I'll tell you, I'm someone that's protected my privacy mm-hmm. and avoided media requests and the spotlight. And when that happened, that was beyond anything I'd expected. I felt what I did was I maintained my authenticity about how I felt, describing my duality as a black man in this country who respects, you know, law enforcement, decries violence against law enforcement, but also has an inherent fear of law enforcement. And also being a black professional navigating two worlds.
Do you feel, more than a year later, a year and 3 months later, have you come to some peace about that duality?
I've come to peace with my ability to acknowledge it mm-hmm. and speak openly about the challenges of that duality. I mean, when you're a black professional, you don't move your career forward by being outspoken about the challenges of being a black professional.
Right.
To get by, you just avoid those controversial types of discussions.
Since the shooting, you've been talking a lot about the intersection of race and violence and medicine. As an African-American doctor, how have you seen that play out in the medical field?
I've been called racial slurs by patients. I've had patients request to have another doctor. They don't want to have a black doctor, so they request mm-hmm. another doctor. I've been with my colleagues and we're being introduced, and everybody gets introduced by Dr. X, Dr. Y, Dr. Z, and then they'll get to me and they say, and this is Brian. So those are things that you just kind of silently endure to get by, but there's also many positive incidences I can describe where you encounter patients who will tell you that you're the first black doctor they've had in their entire lives, mm-hmm. and you can just see their faces light up and the smiles, and somehow whatever they came to see you for is irrelevant. They've had a black doctor, and that just makes their day. And that's a source of pride for me. and also makes me realize that I represent something bigger than myself to a lot of people, and I don't take that lightly.
Since last summer, it's not like our culture's struggle about race has eased. I mean, there was the election, there was Charlottesville, even as recently as the protests in St. Louis in the last few days. Why is this such a difficult conversation to have? Do you think white people are afraid to talk about race?
I think a lot of people are afraid to talk about race, and I would not just categorically dismiss white people as a whole. Mm-hmm. But I think we just all need to acknowledge that in America, we live in a racialized society. That does not mean that everyone has racist intent. And if we can separate those two ideas, then we can move the conversation forward. Because there is a lot of work to do on so many levels to bring some equity for everyone in this country. People want to know that they have a fair shot to achieve the American dream. And right now, with everything being seen through the prism of race, that certainly is not possible.
This isn't your first career reinvention. You were in the Air Force for 13 years, an aeronautical engineer. You left for medical school, became a trauma surgeon, kind of at a point that a lot of people would say that's mid-career.
Right.
What's next?
I'm still in a transition phase right now. Mm-hmm. What I do next will encompass having a career that is focused on social justice. I did not quit medicine. I will still be in medicine, and I know that this is the right move and things are going to turn out okay.
Well, Brian Williams, good luck with that next chapter, and thanks for taking the time.
Thank you very much.
Brian Williams also thinks the recent surge in white supremacist activity might actually help the conversation about race. Listen to the extended interview at keranews.org. And the forecast, high around 92. In the forecast today, mostly sunny skies, mostly clear tonight, low near 75. And then tomorrow, sunny with a high near 94. It's 77 degrees now in Dallas and Fort Worth.